Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you today. Good to see you. It's always a sweet joy to be able to gather with the brethren. Amen. We sure miss y'all when y'all are out. And or when we're out, we miss y'all. But it's a treat for us to be able to come and break bread with one another. Amen. Mal, it's sure good to see you. We've been praying for you. So glad things are falling right into place. They always have and will continue to do that. Just encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep walking with Him. And there's no doubt He'll bless you. As Miss Pat put on her sign out front, He promised He would never leave us nor forsake us. And that's more than just leaving us or forsaking us. It's the idea He'll never abandon nor leave us to ourselves. He is faithful as a father and as a master and a disciple maker. He's not going to let us go off on our own without His chastening love and care upon us. And you can count on that. Amen? He is trustworthy and reliable. So let's take God's Word today, the revelation you brought with you. It is the Word of God. You can cling to it. You can trust it. You can live upon it. You can rest your entire life upon God's message and His Word. We're in Judges right now. We're up to chapter number 19. We only have two chapters left in the book. And these final chapters that we have here, some, as well as the entire book itself, when you really look at it as a whole, there's a lot of ugly that took place. And these last chapters, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, are some real ugly, ugly times in the life of Israel as they journeyed into this promised land. Now, something you want to pick up. Let's just do a little, if y'all don't mind me giving a little history of some things that I think that are going on at this time. It's obvious if you look at the close of the book. Look at the close of the book, chapter 21. Look in the last verse. Now, this has been brought up. If you've been keeping up with it and reading through it, this book is very valuable. It's obvious it is because God gave it to us. He wants us to see during this 300-plus year time frame as they journeyed from the days of Joshua to the days of Eli, we have this picture here. This is what was going on. This is chapter 21 of the book of Judges in verse number 25. It says, In those days, there was no king in Israel. Giving us a historical setting. There was no king in Israel. Who was the first king of Israel? Saul. Now, we learn from the Word of God that God gave the people of God, gave Israel a king out of His anger. They wanted a king. God says, you don't need a king. They wanted a king. They wanted to be like everybody else in the land, so they wanted themselves a king. Hosea says God gave them a king in His anger, and in His wrath, He tore him down. He brought him down. But then God anointed His king. Who was God's king? King David. So we see here, in those days, there was no king in Israel. As a result, without solid influence and leadership, everyone across the board, in general, characteristically, did what was right in his own eyes. To some people, that would sound noble. Every man was free-spirited, independent, did what he wanted to do. But from God's perspective, that was a bad spirit that every man did what was right in his own eyes. Because remember, God had already given them clarity of direction in life. He had already given them the Word of God. But they didn't operate under the Word of God. So this is a summation of that time frame that everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. Now here's something I want to point out to you. From chapter 17 to chapter 21, what we find is that we don't find a deliverer in there. God doesn't mention a deliverer. Y'all probably noticed that as you were going through. There's no deliverer mentioned. Also, something you want to pick up on, He does mention some people that were living at this time frame that also were living in the days of Joshua. He also says it was a time frame prior to when the land was distributed, for an example, to the tribe of Dan. He had not received his inheritance yet. So Dan goes out on his own and he finds him a place. Remember, he went near Sidonians and he found a group of people who didn't have no ruler over them. The land was large and wide and it had everything under the sun a man could want, with the exception of the presence of God. Now think about that for a moment. The reason I say that is that what you find in chapter 17 to 21 is not in a chronological flow of what the entire book sets up. This actually takes us back to the very front part of the book, of the time frame of what was going on in the beginning after the generation of Joshua and those leaders died. Chapter number 2 tells us what was going on in the land. So go back to chapter number 2. Go back to chapter number 2 of Judges. Look, if you would, in verse number 7. Let's just start there. 2:7. 2:7 says, "So the people served the Lord when..." Let's take this historical reference he gives us. They served the Lord all the days of who? They had leadership. We all need solid leadership over our lives. Without leadership, what does men do? They do what is right in there. Not only do we need solid, God-fearing leadership, but we also need the instructions of God. We need the wisdom of God. We need the Word of God. So we need the influence of leaders. We need the instruction of God's Word. And what is that going to produce out of us? That's going to produce an identity upon us of the presence of God, guiding us through this journey called life. So all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, verse 8, chapter number 2, "Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. They buried him within the borders of his inheritance." Verse number 10 says, "When all that generation had gathered to their fathers," that is, they died, "another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel." What a sad commentary.
Amen.
What a sad commentary. Just one generation. One generation. One generation passes away and the identifiable marks of the presence of God dissipates with that next generation because they didn't know the Lord nor what the Lord had done for them in previous days. It can happen quick. We've got to recognize that. Just take a look in America, how fast things change. Does things change quick? I mean, from one generation to the next, things just they constantly are changing. Some aspects are changing for the better, but a lot of aspects are changing for the worse. Now we see that the world is on a journey, unknowing to them. This world we live in is on a journey to meet God. They don't know that. They don't acknowledge that. They don't recognize that. They don't live like that. Only those who have been born again, who've been made new creatures in Christ, only those live in the light of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in the light of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that when we face Him, we're not going to face Him in all our iniquities. We know we're not going to face Him in all our transgressions. We know we're not going to face Him in all our sin, for He paid for our sin at the cross of Calvary. And the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is something that we anticipate. It's something that we are excited about. It's something that we're looking for as believers. But that's only the believer. Everybody else is living for now. Everybody else is living for the day. Everybody else is doing what is right in their own eyes. Where does that lead? Where does that lead? It leads to nothing but trouble. Nothing but tragedy. And that's what these final chapters from 17 to 21 are unveiling to us, because they happened previous to Samson. They happened previous to Gideon. They happened previous to these other leaders who were leading in those days. This was still going on, what we see in 17 through 21. It was happening in the time frame that very shortly after Joshua died, and then the priest Aaron's son, Eleazar, died. His son Phinehas took over, and he lived on the other side of the river. He lived on the way from Egypt into the land of Canaan. He lived during those time frames. Matter of fact, I don't know if y'all remember reading this, but when we read back through the book of Numbers, there was a time frame when the people of God interacted or intermarried and took some women of Moab, and they brought them before the Lord and paraded them in front of the Lord, and God's wrath stirred up and people began to die. A curse fell on them. And Phinehas took a sword, a javelin. He took that sword, and one of these guys brought his bride right up in the front of the house of God, and he took a javelin and he thrust it through both of them and killed them right there. And that turned the curse of the Lord off of the people. And the Bible says his act was an act of righteousness and holiness before God. He was still living in those days. Because in chapter number, go back if you would, let's see. Go back to chapter number, is it 20? Go to 20. Chapter number 20, I think. Let's see if I can find this. Yes, 20 in verse number 27. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. Where was it at? It was in Shiloh. It was in Shiloh at that time. Chapter 18, the close of 18, tells us it was in Shiloh. Shiloh was the place where God told His people He was going to put His name, and that's where He wanted the ark at that time. So they was at Shiloh, and look what it says in verse 28. Phinehas the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out and battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, and shall I cease? So here it is, Karen. That's a landmark for us there. That tells us that this happened not long after Joshua died, because he was still living. The total time frame that they operated within the judges, from the time frame of the first judge unto Eli and Samuel, we're dealing with a time frame of 300 years, Briggs. So we know these last few chapters that a judge is not mentioned happened right after Joshua and the leaders of those days died. Now, y'all know how ugly it was. It reminds me a lot of what's going on in our days today. With people's own ideas. Think about that Levite. Y'all remember that Levite that had a guy by the name? Go back and look in chapter number 17. Let's just talk about a couple of these events. Chapter 17 to tell us. Now, we got to keep in mind, this is not at the end of the time frame of the judges. It's in the very beginning of it. Now there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Micah. Not the prophet Micah, another Micah. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, on which you put a curse. Somebody stole this woman's money. Now she spoke a curse over whoever took her money. But what she didn't know, who took her money? Who did? Her son took the money. Now, he didn't go to her because of his remorse or his repentance or because he feared the Lord. Why did he bring the money back to his mama? Why do you think he did it? He was because of the curse. He didn't want to be cursed. It was about the curse. So this guy Micah is telling, number one, he makes everything about himself. I mean, who's going to steal from their mama? Obviously, the mama had acquired, 1,100 shekels of silver. Seemed like that would probably be a pretty good amount of money in those days. So mama obviously had a little bit of money, or she set aside a little bit of money. Did she live with him? That's a good possibility. But notice, this is all about in-house, in the home. We want to keep in mind, when the home goes, the country goes. Amen. When the home goes, the communities go. When the home goes, the churches go. And that's what we see here, how important it is that not only does a nation need solid leaders and solid instruction to produce the identity of God, it's got to begin where? It's got to begin in the home. Now, we got to remember this. Just because you lead your children right doesn't mean they're going to follow. I think about Samson's mom and dad, Manoah. Remember Manoah when he was out? His wife got a word from the Lord. The angel of the Lord visited her and said she was going to conceive. And she thought she had seen the angel of the Lord. Manoah goes out and they see him and they tell him they're going to have a child. And the Lord tells Manoah's wife that she is going to have a son and that son's going to be a Nazarite. And he told her how to live and what she could do and not do. And they followed that. And they followed the ways of God. Remember when Samson said he wanted that woman down there in Timnath? He said, Daddy, go get her for me. I want her. And they said, no, you don't need to go down there. She's of the Philistines. You don't want to mingle with that. But he went anyway. You see, they were godly men and women who feared the Lord, who God spoke with personally and met with. But then you look at Samson. How did Samson live his life? Samson did what he wanted. Yeah. Went where he wanted. Acted however he wanted. So there's no guarantee. That's important for us to recognize. There's no guarantee that if you live rightly, God-fearing, that means that your sons and your daughters are going to take a hold of the things of God and walk with Him as well. Why? Because they also have to be born again themselves. Amen? Remember, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And to be a child of God, you got to be born again. Now, I cannot neglect that responsibility and accountability to show them Jesus in my daily life. Now, what they do with Jesus when that time comes and their accountability is something between them and the Lord. But I don't want them to run away from the Lord because of me. I want to lead them to Him. Amen. I want my grandchildren to see their honey and their pawpaw. Not only do we love one another and protect one another and have fun with one another and celebrate life with one another, and that we love them, but they know more than anything that Pawpaw and Honey love Jesus. They love what Jesus says. They know what Jesus says. And they're constantly putting what Jesus says into us. They constantly are telling us about Him and what He's done and how He works and we want them to see that. I don't want them to wonder one day, well, did my pawpaw, did he love Jesus? Did he know Jesus? I don't want that. But there's no guarantee that my grandchildren or even future great-grandchildren will love what I love and dig into what I dig in. But I don't want to be the one who gives them any excuse not to be sold out for Jesus. Amen? Now, what we see in this is obviously there were some issues in the home. How do we know that? Well, let's look at it a little bit closer. Verse 2 again. Now, silver was taken from you on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ears. Here is the silver with me. I took it. I stole it. I'm going to give it back to you. And his mother said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my son. Now she's in turn blessing him for which she had already cursed whoever stole it. Now she's blessing him, even though he did steal it, even though he's now returned it. He didn't return it because he had a great love and a fear of God. He returned it to protect himself, and now she's wanting him to be blessed as he is wanting to bless himself. Are you with me? You know what that means? This woman was terribly confused. She had an idea about God, but she didn't know Him. How do I know that? Well, it gets even more personal and it gets even clearer. Verse 3, so when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, what did his mother do? She said, son, I had wholly dedicated this silver from my hand to the Lord for my son. But she's still confused because she don't know what she's talking about nor doing to make what? A carved image and a molded image. Now, therefore, I'll return it to you. Here's a woman who said, I dedicated this money. It was actually for you. And what I was going to do was have you a molded image made. Now, what did God say about molded images? What about God say about graven images? But see, in her mind, you see, when you don't have solid leadership and solid biblical instructions, and you got a generation that don't know the Lord, nor the work of the Lord, they got to come up with their own idea of who the Lord is, and this is the mess that you get. Somebody who thinks they're doing what they're doing for the Lord, but everything they're doing for the Lord is totally contrary to what the Lord has already said to be doing. I want to tell you, we live in a world today that is exactly like this. They own the job, they're in the community, they own the workforce, they in the schools, they have their ideas of who God is and what He likes, what He doesn't like, how He works, what He does, what He don't do. And you just sit around and listen long enough, you're thinking, these people have no clue who Jesus is. Amen. They have no clue what Jesus requires. They have no clue of what Jesus has said. All they're doing is what everybody else is doing. And they've come up with their own ideas of who He is. And they're giving themselves and spending their resources on everything that attracts them. And they're just doing it in the name of the Lord. It's like trinkets, you know, carrying trinkets around. Remember, eventually we're going to get to a point where the children of Israel felt like they needed to do like the Philistines. So they took the Ark of the Covenant out to the battlefield. Something God never told them to do. They felt like, well, if we could bring the ark out, we can bring the presence of God with us. God will be with us and He'll help us in this battle. But it had nothing to do with bringing the presence of God out to the battle. It had everything to do with getting right with God. Amen. Being right, being a living sacrifice with Him. If you want God's presence, be a living sacrifice before Him and His presence to come with you. What happened? The Philistines overwhelmed them, took the ark from them, and for years and years the ark was out of their hands because they thought they could bring a trinket out and it would help them. There's nothing wrong with wearing crosses around your neck. It's only wrong when you wear crosses around your neck but you don't bear a cross. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with giving the sign of the cross necessarily if you don't know the Jesus who the cross bare, who bore the cross for us. Amen. This is the society we live in. People think they're doing things for God when what they're doing is totally contrary to everything that God has already said and revealed. Amen. Amen. So we see that happening here. What did this guy do? He took that. What was made, they went. Verse 4, then his mother took 200 shekels of that silver and gave them to the silversmith. And the silversmith made a carved image and molded an image. And they were in the house of Micah. The man of Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and a household idols. An ephod was something that the priest had there in Shiloh that went before the Lord to get answers for guidance from the Lord. What he did, he just took things upon himself and made his own household idols that he was going to do business his way. Remember, men didn't know the Lord nor the works of the Lord. So what did they do? They done what was right in their own eyes. Verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right. Here it is again, telling us why they're doing what they're doing in their own eyes. Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. Remember, Levites didn't have part of the inheritance. They were the ones who was to serve the Lord. So this guy wasn't in an assigned place that he was going to be assigned to. It says in verse number 8, the man departed from the city of Bethlehem of Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. He didn't know where he was going, Brother Shannon. Amen. Just to go wherever. What does the word Bethlehem mean? Anybody have an idea? House of God. What does the word Judah mean? Praise. He's at the quote-unquote house of God in the heart of praise. But he wasn't content where he was at. He didn't know where he was going. He'd just go anywhere. Sounds a lot familiar today. You ever see that? A lot of people just bouncing anywhere and everywhere. They just don't have a place. They don't have a family. They don't have a people. They can care less where they go, just anywhere. I'll go anywhere because I'm not content in where I'm at. I'll just journey and go and go. We live in a land today, a lot of what we see going on is just because people are just not content in what they have, in who they are, or where they're at. So they're always searching for something more. And when you're always searching for something more, you're always going to settle on something less. No matter what it looks like, no matter how valuable it may seem, if you're going out with no purpose of where and who's leading you, you're going independent, even though you're searching for something more, you're going to find less. What's that old song? There's an old song, something about finding people, friends, and in all the wrong places. It's easy to find them, and that's what he come. He found a guy, Micah. Verse number 9, Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" So he said to him, "I'm a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm on my way to find a place to stay." And Micah said to him, "Dwell with me, be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year. I'll give you some clothes, and I'll feed you." So the Levite said, "I'll settle for that." Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the man and the young man became like one of his sons. So Micah consecrated the Levite. Did Micah have authorization to consecrate him? And the young man became his priest and lived in his house. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me since I have a Levite as a priest." This man ain't got a clue, does he?
Amen.
He ain't got a clue. And I'm sad to say, I walk through this land, I see what I see, I hear what I hear, I read what I read, and you know what? We live in a land that just ain't got a clue today. In a lot of ways. Are you with me? Just... That doesn't mean that we had it all figured out, amen. I ain't got it all figured out. But I know Him who does. I know Him who does. And He's my friend, amen. And I love what he says. And I love what he says about life and the days that we're living in to be difference makers. Then this story kind of continues to go on about these Danites here who Joshua 19 is a reference you can put on top of that, tells us. Matter of fact, go look at... Let me just read here first. Verse number 1 of Judges 18, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in, for until that day their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them." That's a reference to Joshua 19. Go look in Joshua 19. Let's just get a picture here. You can write that down, Joshua 19. Joshua 19. Looking about verse number 40, Joshua 19:40, just some teaching points, historical reference for future time you're in this book. There in Joshua 19, you can write down in that Judges 18 above it, give you a little reference. Verse 40 says, "The seventh lot came for the tribe of the children of who? Dan." Now look in verse number 47. "And the border of the children of Dan went beyond these." Why? Because the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem or Lachish, what we're going to read about in Judges, and took it, and they struck it with the edge of the sword, took possession of it, and dwelt in it. They called Leshem Dan, after the name of Dan, their father. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan, according to the families, these cities with their villages. This doesn't actually happen, and it's described in chapter number 18 of the book of Judges. So that's another reference that we're talking about. This is happening right after Joshua died. Are you with me? These are just some landmark, teachable moments for us. But notice, go back to Judges, if you would, Judges 18. verse number 3. They come up to Micah's place. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. What do you think they mean, they recognized the voice? Did they know him? Most likely not. What does that mean, they recognized the voice? They recognized his what? They recognized his dialect, that he wasn't from there. He wasn't of the tribe of Ephraim. He was from somewhere else. His dialect was different. Like if you listen to Brother Shannon talk, and you listen to Briggs talk, you listen to Sandy talk. Y'all listen to Sandy. Does Sandy sound like she's from Texas?
I reckon.
They say, you from the South, but you ain't from Mississippi, right? How long you been living in Mississippi now? 18 years.
Yeah. I talk funny too.
You do. Every once in a while, I'll hear something, and I'll tell Sandy, that sounds like Sandy. They got to be from Texas. She says a few things. You can pick it up. Well, you know she's from the South, but her dialect's just a touch different. Well, that's what they recognized with this Levite, that his dialect was a little bit different. So he explains to them where he's from. They turned aside and said to him, who brought you here? Should have been the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But it wasn't. What are you doing here? Serving the Lord. Should be. What do you have here? He should say, ain't got nothing here. But he said to them, thus and thus Micah did for me. See, who was it about? It was about Micah, and it was about himself. Not about what God was doing with him. What brought him here? My job brought me here. You sit out, you talk with people in the highways and the byways, and you start talking with them. You ask them where they're from, they tell you where they're from. You ask them what they're doing, they tell you what they're doing. You ask them where they do this, where they do that, where they did. You can talk for 2 hours with them, and you never pick up the voice of God. Never hear, well, God planted me here. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He sent me here and placed me in this job. And this job is my mission field of what He's called me to do. And these are the people that I'm serving. And God's using it, and He's meeting needs. He's got me with a church family that I love and care for, and they care for me, and I'm growing. You know, do y'all hear a lot of that when y'all out and about talking with people? You see, I'm telling you, every man doing what is right in his own eyes. The ideas of the things of the kingdom are far from a man when he lives that away. So he goes on to say, verse number 5, so they said to him, please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we should go shall prosper. See, Lucas, here it is. This guy just said he was a Levite, where he's from, what he was doing. Never mentioned God one time, and they asked him to inquire of God. We see that a lot. People ask you for a prayer request before they ask you if you really know Jesus or not. Same way, right? Why? Because that makes it all about who? Them. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. They just wanted somebody to affirm them in doing what they were doing. So they take off and they go in verse number 6. And the priest said to them, go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way. Number 1, he didn't know that. Number 2, he had no authorization to say that. And number 3, they should have never trusted what he said.
Amen.
Verse 7 says, so the 5 men departed and they went to Laish, which that's what Joshua was talking about. Notice what these men, just shows you the condition of the hearts of the people in that day. The people who were there, they saw them that they, number 1, what everybody wants, they wanted somebody that was, they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. Now here it is. There was no ruler in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Doesn't that sound like today nobody wants to tell them what to do?
Amen.
Everybody wants to do whatever they want to do, but with no accountability?
Amen.
Does that sound familiar? Just let me live, let me smoke my joint, let me drink my beer, let me do what I want to do, let me shoot my guns, let me go here, let me take what I want, steal what I want, have what I want. You ain't got no right to tell me. And if you do, we need to get you out of office and we need to get somebody in to let us do what we want to do. And that boy, when they saw somebody living quietly and securely where they wanted and they had no rulers over them, they said, that's the place.
Amen.
That's the place. That's where we want to live. You see, the Bible says when there is no vision or revelation, what do? They cast off restraint. They do whatever they want to do. And we live in a day today with anarchy happening all over. This is the picture of man doing what is right in his own eyes. I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. I want to block off a city and keep all the police out of it and tell them we don't want you in here. We'll live like we want to live. And then they live like hoodlums and kill one another. And they got to bring in the guard and the army and everybody else to take over. Why? Men cannot function without good leaders.
Amen.
Men cannot function properly without good instruction, guidance. And this is the consequence of that. What did they do? They go back home. They get their man, Mr. Billy, and they go back to this place. Said, we can take it. They took some warriors with them. And you see exactly what they did. They went and took that land. They killed the people. They burned it to the ground with all the intentions to build it back up again. Their way. How they wanted it. Boy, does that sound familiar today? It's exactly what we see. It's exactly what we see. Well, how do we... Now, there's a lot more to this. We'll continue to talk a little bit more about some of these things tonight. But you get into the next picture of this guy, this other Levite who had him a concubine, and then what he did, and then what they did, and how they killed one another, and then they encouraged them to go take these women that came out to dance. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, they were doing some crazy stuff. But I want to tell you, there's some crazy stuff going on today. Are you with me?
Amen.
Let me give you a passage of Scripture, and we'll go in more detail maybe tonight on it. Turn to the Newer Testament book of Jude. Jude. One chapter. Jude. I'm going to read it. We'll get into it tonight more on some application for us in the midst of a land that does what they want to do, when they want to do it, who don't want rulers and leaders and those things to police them in any kind of way. How do we function as the disciples of the Lord in our day? I think I'm just going to take a section out of Jude, and I think it gives us some help in this. And we'll talk more about it this evening. And I share with y'all, we've been uploading messages. I think we got like 16 messages on Judges already online. You can go listen to some of them if you missed them. And they'll keep you up to where we are, and there'll be a few more go up as well. But Jude 20. Jude already said we need to contend for the faith that's been delivered to us. You understand we are in a war, right? That's why the Scripture says, put on the full armor of. Now, we don't fight with fists and those types of things. That's not the objective. We tear things down by the power of God. We bring down strongholds and those types of things. Our work is one individual at a time. Amen? Doing what God's called us to do. But notice what Jude, he closed out this letter with this. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up. That is simply saying, to build yourselves up in the faith, you got to be sold out. You got to be sold out. To sell out for Jesus. See, if you don't sell out for Jesus, you're going to sell out. That's what that Levite did with Micah. He didn't sell out to God, so when Micah came along with 10 shekels and a shirt and a little food, he sold out to him.
Amen.
If you don't sell out, you're going to sell out to somebody else. So sell out to the Lord. And to sell out to Him, that means you commit yourself to grow in who He is and what He does. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying, that's communicating with God, bringing everything to Him. You're going to talk about what's going on in your life. Either you're going to talk about it to yourself or you're going to talk about it to somebody else. And when you're talking about it to yourself and somebody else, but God's never in the mix of it, you ain't going to do nothing but lie to yourself. Amen? So if you're going to communicate, bring it to Jesus. Praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the unhindered flow of the love of God. That's the idea, that God has an unhindered flow and you want to keep yourself in it. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some that you live among, have compassion. On some, make a clear distinction of where they are and where they're not. But on others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, or even hating the garment defiled by the flesh. I think Jude gives us some really good insight on how to keep ourselves in the unhindered flow of the love of God. We got to be sold out, growing. We need to be praying. We need to be looking to Jesus, and we need to be telling people about Him. Amen. You want to stay in God's unhindered flow of His love. You got to be growing. The only way to grow in the kingdom is you got to be sold out. If you're not sold out, you're going to sell out somebody else. You need to be communicating with Him, talking to Him, casting it upon Him. Keith, you do a lot of talking. You talk a lot?
Yep.
You talk to yourself, talk to a lot of people. Karen, you talk a lot? You talk to yourself all the time. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. You're going to share what's going on within you, either with yourself. That's why some of you think you're crazy. Are you with me? And if that's all you share it with is yourself, you're going to be crazy. Are you with me? You ever think you're crazy, Pam? You know you are. But just think how crazy you'd be if you didn't have Jesus. You're going to communicate what you're seeing, feeling, hearing, watching, observing, learning. You're going to talk about it. You're going to communicate it either with you or somebody else. Learn how to communicate with the Lord first. Bring it to Him. Give it to Him. Give it to Him. Make that your first priority. Bring it to Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His. In everything with prayer and thanksgiving and supplication, make your request be known to who? God. What is the promise? That the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. I need God to guard my heart and mind. But if I'm not bringing it to Him, my mind and my heart is open for the attack or the influence of a society that is operating and doing whatever is right in their own eyes and an enemy that's coming against me. I've got to learn how to bring that to Him. And I need to learn how to keep looking for His fresh mercies, for His return. And I need to know people around me are dying without Jesus. People around me are dying without Jesus. So what He's speaking into me, what I'm growing in, what I'm looking to Him and hearing from Him for, I need to also share that with others around me. Amen? And I'm telling you, these things that Jude closes this out with is going to be a great help with us in these days. Because I want to tell you, Jude brings out every phase of history that's been horrific through time. From angels to Noah's time, to many different things of terrible days, and he happens to close out the letter like this, saying, look, you need to be growing, you need to be talking to the Lord, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus, you need to share what He's doing in your life. And that'll help you contend for the faith in the midst of a society that has no idea they're on their way to meet God without any mercy.
Amen.
It'll help you. Amen. It'll help you. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about some of these things tonight as we come back. But this is a good start for where we are. Amen?
Amen.
Man, we live in a society that's bent. It's bent.
Right.
Hard to use a nail that's bent. Now, you can use it for other stuff. You could try to straighten it out, but it's never going to have the integrity that it was designed with because it's bent. It's crooked. It's warped. And I don't want the knowledge that I have to warp me.
Amen.
I want it to straighten me out by the mercies of God. Amen?
Amen?
For His glory. Father, we thank You today. Bless You. Ask You to help us with these things, to teach us. We can recognize where we are. We want to know what You're doing. We want to have the confidence that You're using us. And we want to have the courage to stand and love people and lead them to You. We can't do it without You. You're our keeper. You're our keeper. Our keeping ain't keeping us. You're keeping us. And we trust You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Make me willing, Lord, to be made willing. Where You lead, I will follow. Anybody have anything before we go? A lot going on. Many, many places. Many, many places. You want to hear from the Lord. Amen. You want to hear from the Lord. Walk in what He gives you. He'll guard your heart and mind, as Philippians 4 through 8, 9 tell us. We want to think on those things which are true and honest and noble and praiseworthy and of a good report. We want to bring everything to Him. Be anxious for nothing, He says, but turn it over to Him. And He'll guard us. He'll guard us. You need to be guarded. Don't think you can go out there on your own and do it on your own. If you do, we won't be any different than that old Levite who's going to sell out for something other than the Lord. We need one another. We need one another as we walk through this life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Yes. Love y'all. Y'all have a great day. We'll see y'all 5 o'clock tonight.